Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and we hope it's treating you good. Seth and James here with you at 8:04 on the clock on this 27th of April, and we're joined right now by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How are you doing on this Friday Eve?
Not too bad. How about you guys?
Doing good over here. Right. Got a kind of, it looks like Mother Nature's easing into the day a little bit, waking up still a little out there. What has Mother Nature got in store for us?
Yeah, a few showers around the area this morning through midday, and otherwise more cloud cover in the area today. With, maybe some breaks in that cloud deck later this afternoon. Otherwise, highs about 63. Partly to mostly cloudy sky tonight, 41. And then Friday, breaks of sun, late day shower chance. Still mild, though, 66 tomorrow, 40 on Friday night. Shower chances building in, especially late. Rain showers Saturday, cloudy and cooling temps for the weekend, 50 on Saturday. Saturday night, 35, some rain showers. Rain showers into Sunday, can't rule out a little snow or sleet even mixed in some parts of the area into Sunday morning, especially with some highs in the upper 40s Sunday. Pretty blustery start to next week as well, 49 Monday. With a few more showers, and then still looking at some sun making its way back in here Tuesday and Wednesday, mid-50s Tuesday, mid-60s back here Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Take it back, Paul.
Yeah.
Take the snow part back.
No, take it back.
You still got time. Yeah. This is in real time. You can take it back. No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding. We appreciate you, Paul. Thank you so much. We'll get people ready for the weekend tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good.
Have a great day.
You too.
Best in the business, our friend Paul in the Weather Eye Weather Center. Man, he puts up with a lot for me.
He sure does.
He really does. We appreciate that moment there so
boy.
Much. We got fun things lined up this hour. Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club are right around the corner. Looking forward to diving into that. I also want to get into those AI-powered glasses that we've been hearing about. And I got a good one here, Seth. Three ways to deal with gaps on your resume.
Gaps on your resume. Oh, this should be interesting. Okay.
We'll get into those a little bit later, but right now we're talking about the most overrated movies in the history of cinema.
All right.
What is the most overrated movie you've ever seen? BuzzFeed asked its readers for their suggestions. So I kind of like this, that this is a fan kind of thing.
That's
very
cool.
This is a little more
yeah.
of that and such. There is a complete list, but we've got the top 10 here.
Okay.
So we're going to go through these. I'll start with number 10.
All right.
Do you want to do honorable mentions or wait until it, see if it gets mentioned in the
Yeah, let's
list?
Wait for those, yeah.
All right. So we'll go at number 10, and I immediately hate this list. I agree with it, and I hate it in some, like some I agree with, some I don't.
Okay.
Number 10, The Shawshank Redemption from 1994. Hmm. Quote, it's a good film, but it's the Coldplay of cinema. If you tell me your favorite film is The Shawshank Redemption, I'm going to immediately wish I wasn't having a conversation about cinema with you.
Okay, that's a funny line. But other than that, yeah, I don't know if it's overrated.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, defining what overrated is to each of us individually.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing more and more of this as we go along.
Yeah.
You know, with words. Unfortunately, words don't mean what they say in the Merriam-Webster
right.
dictionary anymore. Now news it doesn't mean what it used to. Breaking news definitely doesn't mean what it used to.
No.
You got stories that came out like 5 hours ago and they're still using the breaking news
breaking
headline
news,
and everything.
Yeah.
Local is something that means something around here, and the definition of
yeah.
is very important to us around
mm-hmm.
here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those kind of terms nowadays. So what is overrated to you? To me, when I think of overrated, it's not so much about box office numbers.
Okay.
It's about whether it is critic of fame or a popular vote, you know?
Right, okay.
And then I see this thing, and I'm like, well, everybody was hyping this up, and then I see it, and it's like, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I don't think this list, I know now this list is not talking about like box office failures or things like
okay.
that.
Okay, it's more quality or at least perceived quality?
Yeah, your Waterworlds, your John Carters, those movies are not going to be on this list, it looks
gotcha.
Like.
Gotcha.
This isn't box office failures as much as movies that have been around a bit, it looks like, and maybe are overhyped to
yeah,
people.
Yeah, have been reassessed. Yeah,
yeah.
Let's put it that way.
I dislike whoever recommended The Dark Knight at number 9.
Really?
The Dark Knight is not only one of the more complete, better films I've seen, where it's written and everything,
okay.
it is easily the greatest superhero movie of all time, to me, in my opinion.
Mm.
There is no, like, it could be number 1 and 2 in my book, as good as it is. like as well written as Christopher Nolan yep. wrote that movie. What he did with those movies, again, revisionist. You know, we're in this modern time of superheroes where every day there's a new superhero movie coming right. out and everything. At the time, this was a chance they took, not only doing a superhero movie,
yeah.
but doing a dark, gritty superhero movie that mm-hmm. was real, that tried to take these imaginary characters, and instead of the Joker just falling into a vat or something, actually having something that was even scarier, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know.
Yeah.
The casting, and Christopher Reeve was a fantastic actor, mm-hmm. but he would be the first one to tell you he was not a thespian. Mm-hmm. When hiring actual thespians, real acting actors, to play these characters, Christopher Nolan doing that, studios weren't up for that.
Yeah.
Studios didn't back that and everything. Nobody backed. The studio did not back Heath Ledger playing the Joker. Christopher Nolan and the casting directors made that
yeah,
decision.
Right.
Like the Dark Knight, and saying the Dark Knight is overrated is basically saying that everything that has happened after that with superhero movies is overhyped. That part I don't necessarily disagree with 100%.
Right. Yeah.
There's been some clunkers out there.
For sure.
But
for sure. I think maybe, you know, for me personally, I liked The Dark Knight. I thought it was good. I really enjoyed the performances in it. It was really good. I felt it was a little too long. I thought it was longer than it needed to be. The other thing is, I think this might be backlash. Remember, when it came out, I remember some people going too far the other way. This is the greatest movie ever made.
Yeah,
it's like, huh? Wait, no, it's a good movie. I'm not going to go that far. You could say, like you said, greatest superhero movie ever made. Mm-hmm. I could buy that, mm-hmm. totally buy that one. But this might be a little bit of a backlash on that.
I think we're going to see a lot of that throughout this list. I think that there's always going to be the people that will jump on bandwagons, and there's always going to be people that hate bandwagon jumpers.
Exactly.
And,
you know it.
Number 8, Titanic from 1997. Quote, it's just a bloated, drawn-out love story whose ending was never going to be a surprise. I've rambled about this movie enough.
Right, right.
People already know I've never seen Titanic, never will.
Yeah.
I know how it ends. Yeah. I don't have any interest in it. But I don't think this gets mentioned enough about it. I'm a foolish romantic. I don't like rom-coms really, but I like romantic movies. I think they're cool. I think they're all right. If it's a new story, if it's not boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've seen that 90,000 times.
Right, sure.
But there are some newer, different ones out there and everything, so it's not that part of it. And it's not even just the knowing literally what happened to the Titanic. Spoiler, it sank.
We've known this for well over 100 years.
Yeah. It's more to do with James Cameron and his ego, like being on. Like you see James Cameron's ego more than you see Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie. But
it's about him, it's the director.
All about, like every movie he's ever done, it's all about James Cameron. And
the possible exception of a couple of his early ones, but yeah, I think you're right.
Fair, very fair. Yes, but yeah, absolutely. ever since he got a paycheck from Hollywood and he got anointed, it's all been James Cameron this, James Cameron that. And to me, I just get tired of that.
Yeah, and I think this one's actually one you could say people have considered it overhyped since it came out.
Mm.
I think you're not alone in that.
This next one I'm a fan of, but I don't begrudge this because it's a different era. And similar to what you were saying there, Seth, with the, like, even I say The Dark Knight's the greatest superhero movie. I was young when it came, not younger, when it came out and everything. And it's just something like a generational thing.
Right.
I imagine if you're a teenager when Avengers Endgame comes out or something like that, like, how can you not deny that the movie is the greatest?
Right, exactly.
Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge them that. Endgame is probably easily in my top five.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller's Day Off from 1986.
Wow.
The characters are extremely unlikable. A friend of mine described it as being extremely smug, which is a great description.
Mm.
I never went into that movie, or really any 80s movie, going into it thinking that I was going to like every character. I think that was one of the cool things that the 80s started to do that they weren't doing in the 70s and 60s and stuff with cinema.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't trying to just put perfect people on film. You know, they were flawed.
Yeah.
Now, like, 80s were the typical, like, stare, you know, the cool thing that they was to have sunglasses and a skateboard and, you know, that kind of stuff and everything. And there was some of that stuff in there and everything. But I never, like, came out of that movie thinking Ferris Bueller was the coolest guy of all time or anything like that. I thought he was a hustler. I thought he got away with some stuff. Like, and I was a kid when I saw that movie. But I think for a lot of people, they hear people talk, oh, you got to see Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's amazing. The ending is incredible. And stuff, and then you watch it, and you're like, "This isn't really hold up."
Kind of had
well.
To be there. One of those things.
Yeah.
A lot of comedies from the '80s do not hold up.
Yeah.
Anymore for any number of reasons. So yeah, if anyone is trying to convince you that like the '80s was the comedy movie, you know, paradise.
Yeah.
Maybe when you were growing up, not so much anymore.
Number six. This is a little surprising to me. Frozen from 2013.
Ooh.
There are so many other better similar Disney movies. It's like a 7 out of 10.
Oh, my gosh. Honestly, it's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's entertaining. You know, it's great. The hype, one song.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from. Mm. I swear to God, it's the one song that does it.
I don't know the movie well enough, and I think it's a kid's movie, and my kids are old, so I haven't really gotten into part of it or anything. Yeah. But it's hard for me to say any kid's movie is overhyped. It's kids.
Yeah,
they
right.
They literally overhype everything. They overhype ice cream. Like, I mean, you know.
Think about it. You're telling them you're going for ice cream, they're like, yeah, oh my God, ice cream!
They lose their minds. Yeah. It's kids. That's part of being a kid. Let them overhype a movie if they
Let's
want
to. Let
or
them
something.
Do it.
Like,
yeah.
I never came out of Finding Nemo with my daughter and my son or anything and like, well, that was a stinker. Like, no. Did I think it was, I didn't watch it like, well, cinematically, I thought that they should have spent a little more time on this character. Yes. And, you know, how dare, come on. It's a kid's movie.
It's a kid's movie.
Number five, Gravity from 2013. This quote from it, as I call it, Sandra Bullock falls for 2 hours. Yeah.
That's a good one.
All those kind of movies are, they make those movies knowing it's a select audience.
For sure.
You know?
For sure. It's kind of a slow burn kind of movie where there's going to be some people that are riding its wavelength and are like, wow, this is really cool. And there's going to be some people that are just like, wow, this is really boring. You know, there's nothing going on. There's nothing happening. It's not doing anything for me.
Number four, La La Land from 2016. Quote, none of the songs resonated or stuck with me, and the whole storyline was boring.
I've never seen it, so I don't know. I can't make a judgment on
that. I honestly don't know. I mean, I've seen it, but I don't know anybody else who's seen it. And it won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how, like, you know, how that happens sometimes. But I remember some years back, The Artist... The black and white film that won Best Picture. And it was like, I didn't know anybody had seen that either.
I've seen that. I actually still like it. I think it's good.
I like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
I think that I was hoping that was going to start a trend.
Yeah.
That we were going to see more black and white, you know, not non-speaking role.
Yeah, more like a silent movie.
Yeah,
thing.
A little throwback to
it
that.
It was just a blip.
Yeah.
It just, it was just a thing. It's a very charming movie, though.
It really is.
Yeah.
Number three, Forrest Gump from 1994. Quote, good boy who does what he's told gets accolades and fame, while the girl who overcomes trauma and gets into radical politics dies of AIDS. Great message. That is nitpicking. I don't think that's fair at all.
There's one thing about this that I think that it's very interesting, especially if you've read the book, Winston Groom's novel, Forrest Gump. Robert Zemeckis, who was the director of Forrest Gump, took it in a completely different direction than what Winston Groom's book was a satire.
Yes.
He was making fun. He was poking fun at how he grew up and all these kinds of things. Robert Zemeckis took it straight faced.
Yeah.
He did not do it.
I was surprised by that.
Yeah. So it's, I remember going to see Forrest Gump in the theaters.
Me too.
And I enjoyed it, you know. I have now that I think about it as I've come back to it, I was like, there are some interesting quote unquote messages in it. The way they portray certain characters hasn't aged a lot, you know, in a lot of ways. So I can see where, you know, it was overhyped. I'm not going to say it's a bad movie because it's not. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
But it's, there's some things that are like, eh. any more about it?
Well, anything that's been around 20, 30 years has the opportunity to become overhyped
or overdone. Yep.
The handling of the character of Jenny, I thought, was badly done, certainly.
I agree.
I think everybody in the world can kind of agree with that. But outside of that, I thought it was a charming movie. I didn't go into it expecting to see a actual history of or anything. I was a little disappointed because Zemeckis is such a talented director and so good with comedy and sarcasm and those things that I thought he would actually lean into that
and
do that. And instead, it was a little bit more of an Americana story in some ways.
Yeah, it really was. And that's the way he took it, which is a lot of his movies actually are like
right? I didn't mind that.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it.
But I could see how certain movies that, you know, similar to the Shawshank Redemption thing. When people ask you their favorite movie, what most of them want to hear is their favorite movie told back to them.
Exactly.
You know? And that's where we're going to get a lot of this stuff.
It's true. Here. It's absolutely true.
Number two, The Notebook from 2004. Quote, I don't understand people who prefer Noah to Lon. Lon was everything.
Oh, wait a minute now. Now we're just talking about the characters.
Yeah,
come on now. That's just ridiculous. I don't get I just don't get it, that movie at all. I just don't understand it. So
I thought it was as far as modern love stories, I thought it's one of the better modern love stories I've seen. I thought the performances in it were very strong and good, and the characters were real. Like, we don't always choose the person that's best for us. We don't we don't always end up with that. You know, we end up with the person we are meant to end up with. You know, what you think as a viewer is your opinion, is your thoughts.
Exactly.
Why are you putting them on imaginary characters? It's bad enough we do this in society to real people. Yeah. Now we're going to start doing it with fake people? Well, Lon, she should have chose Lon.
Yeah.
How dare her? She's an imaginary character.
Yeah. How about
what are you doing?
Hey, you want to see someone about – you want to see a very harrowing movie about making decisions. Sophie's Choice. You want to see a movie about making a tough decision?
Yeah.
There you go.
Still holds up, too, by the way.
Yes, excellent movie.
My God, the performances in that movie.
Ah, I love Peter McNichol. It's
one of my favorites. And number one on the list – Avatar from 2009.
Well deserved.
Beautiful visuals, but forgettable story. A story that James Cameron stole. You know, he's had to go to court for these things and stuff. I'm not, you know, throwing him under the bus or anything like that.
It's well known.
I've never seen Avatar. I have
Neither
no interest in it.
No.
It does not pull me in whatsoever. I get really tired of green screen movies. And James Cameron is a real green screen guy.
He is, for sure.
I've been very honest about James Cameron's work. I just am not a fan.
Yeah.
So I don't want to act like I'm saying any of this without some, you know, personal bias.
Right.
I'm obviously coming into it with some of that.
James Cameron, for, you know, all of his strengths, his faults, whatever you want to put out there, he's not that interested in story.
No.
In movies. He's interested in visuals. That's what he likes. That's his MO. He likes big, epic, you know, visuals, these kinds of things that look very pretty. For some people, I don't think Avatar is that great looking film to me personally.
I can't see the difference of the characters in the back screen sometimes.
Yeah.
When you've got some of these characters floating over water. You can barely see an outline difference. Like, for all the money they put into that and to be making the mistakes they made, I'm not even just talking about the first Avatar. I mean, this most recent one. Even just watching the trailers and stuff was confusing, and I didn't quite see. I felt the same way about the Transformers movies. I was excited about those, and I went into them, and when they would change to from a car to a, you know, from Optimus Prime would change or something like that.
To a semi, right?
I thought it was so fast, and so, like, I didn't like it. I didn't like the way it worked and everything.
Yeah, so
James Cameron movies are children's books. Not a lot of dialogue, a lot of pictures.
A lot of bright colors.
Yeah, and if you still like to read children's books, that's cool. You can enjoy James Cameron movies,
I think. Go for it. A lot of people like to watch his movies,
Enjoy what you enjoy.
Yeah.
Never let anybody tell you, not me, not Seth, not a critic, not anybody tell you what's a good or bad movie. If you like Waterworld, go ahead and watch Waterworld all you want. That's the point of entertainment. That's why they make all these dang movies.
You know what we could have done if we had the time for this? We could have offered an alternative film to these. Because I thought The Notebook, you want a good love story movie that's also visually stunning. And it's got music in it. Moulin Rouge.
That's
got a great love story in it. It's a tragic love story, but it's still a great love story.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I will recommend What Dreams May Come. That's my favorite.
Oh, another one.
That's my favorite love story of all time.
Yep.
It is just beautiful visually.
Mm-hmm.
What Terry Gilliam did with that movie was ahead of its time.
Yep.
The casting and performance by casting of Robin Williams and the performance of Robin Williams is top 10 mm-hmm. of his, and that is saying something. That man didn't do bad work.
He was in a lot of stuff. Yeah.
I like that idea though. I wish I had thought of that. That was good idea. I recommend.
We probably this would have gone on for like an hour.
Absolutely. Like, we're lucky if anybody still listens.
Yes.
I'm joking. Well, let's come back. I know you'll be listening for the next segment, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club, coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Happy birthday, darling. I have no presents, no fancy cake.
It's time to celebrate you with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is talk some birthdays, talk some anniversaries, and encourage you to head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us. And if you are celebrating a birthday, Seth, what can they get?
Well, you know, today is kind of a cloudy, overcast day. Maybe get some rain. Nothing can cheer you up like one of Brian's pies.
Yeah.
And you get it for free? Yes. I mean, come on.
The only thing better than Brian's pies are free Brian's pies.
Exactly.
Encourage you to do that. We were just like seconds from going on the air, and a bird hit our window.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad. I hope that bird isn't hurt.
I'm a little worried about him because he's still sitting on the ledge, and he's got his beak open.
Oh, no.
I hope he's all right.
Oh, well, I guess we'll find out.
I'm going to be keeping an eye on that. I hope the little guy's all right. How long we've been in this building, and I've never seen that happen.
That has not happened yet. I'm just kind of surprised you have not seen
very,
that yet.
Very, yeah. Okay, he's shutting his beak now a little bit. Okay. He seems okay. He's moving his big beak a little. Like I know what I'm talking about. He's moving his beak. He's perfectly fine. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I just hope he's okay. It's time to get into some birthdays, some anniversaries, and we have two possible qualifiers on our list. Seth, give me a one or two.
One.
There we go. That gives us our qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. And as I touched on earlier today, happy birthday to my son, James Kevin Maloff.
Happy birthday, JC.
He is the fifth James. When my family immigrated to this country, my great-grandfather had a couple of coins and his name. That's all he had. And came up with this tradition of passing this name on to the firstborn and the first male born in our family.
Very cool.
I get this tradition off my shoulders and put it on his. and as I told him when he was very young, and I tell him all the time, it's on him how he does what he does with it.
Yeah,
and everything.
Right.
What I appreciate so much about my son is endless. I don't even know where I would begin. I will say that his creativity from a young age has been stellar and unique. He, as a child, was more creative than I've ever been. What he's done with his life, how he's handled his life already, even at a young age. He just just a year or so ago graduated neurology at the your stomping grounds at Minnesota.
Minnesota, yeah.
I'm extremely proud of him for there. He's still living up there, working at a lab.
That's so cool.
Got his own place. He's doing all these things.
That's great.
I couldn't be more proud or happy of him. I when we were talking once, he was telling me about how interesting he thought it was that I was a writer, and he fell into writing. And he's like, well, I don't really consider myself a writer, more of a storyteller.
That's cool.
I guarantee that if you asked anybody that knew me when I was 8, 10 years old, something like that, or 13 probably more likely, if I was a writer or not, that's probably what I would have said.
True. Because it's one thing to write, but it's another thing to just, there's a lot of different ways you can tell stories, not just in writing. And that makes sense to me.
My oldest, Bria, I've never met anybody in this world that I'm so alike and is so like me and all that. We have so many different things that are in common and parallel. My youngest, Isabel, we our hearts think alike. Mm-hmm. We are just so in intertwined in that way.
Mm-hmm.
My son, it's the soul. It is a perfect combination of his mother and I soul.
Cool.
I could spend the whole show talking about him. I'm very proud of him.
Proud papa.
I'll talk to you later, JC. Have a great morning. We want to wish a happy birthday to Kim Simmons.
Kim, happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Kim. Hope it's a great one for you. And our qualifier today, Jen Butke.
Jen, congratulations and happy birthday.
Jean.
Oh, Gene.
Gene. I'm sorry. I looked at it the wrong way. I had the microphone in the way. I apologize. Oh, okay. Gene Butke.
Okay, Gene.
You know, and Gene, you're our qualifier. So
there you go.
We made up for it right there.
Yeah, that's right.
You might win some free Misties in just a couple of days, actually.
Oh, my gosh. We're almost at the end of the month here, aren't we? Wow.
Just realized that. To everybody that sent us these names, thank you so much. We want more of them. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james@civicmedia.us.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can send it to us on Facebook. Just direct message us on Facebook and send it to us that way.
Nice.
We encourage you to do that. We love celebrating with you. Taking a look at our celebrity list, Lizzo is 35 today.
All right.
35 and looking good and feeling good. Like, I love her confidence. Like, I hope that it is all genuine. We don't know oftentimes with celebrities.
Of course not, no.
You know, you got to put your game face on sometimes and do the job. I hope for her that, because she deserves it, that it's all, it seems very, very, very genuine.
Genuine,
100%,
yeah.
But not everybody, it feels like that 100% of the time.
No, you can't all
but
the time.
She sure seems like it. Like, you know, even if I didn't like, there's a couple of songs of hers I like, but even if there wasn't, I'd be real a big supporter and a big fan of hers.
She's I am who I am. And that's that.
Really appreciate that. We need more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna Coleman is 37. She was Clara Oswald on Doctor Who. She was a companion to the 11th and 12th Doctors before landing the role of Queen Victoria.
Whoa. Okay.
Patrick Stump is 39, Fall Out Boy lead singer and guitarist. He also sings the chorus on Gym Class Heroes, one of their songs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I believe, didn't Fall Out Boy come back? Like
they took a hiatus, and then they came back
touring
again,
or something like that.
They have not lost their popularity.
I got to be honest, and I am going to get a lot of people mad at me, but the Blink-182s, Fall Out Boys, like a lot of those, the Good Charlottes, like a lot of those bands just meld together for me. I'm so
they're all
sorry.
One big group.
John Osborne of the Brothers Osborne is 41 today.
Oh, okay.
Travis Meeks is 44, lead singer of Days of the New.
Okay. A lot of musicians today.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sally Hawkins is 47, Oscar nominee for The Shape of Water. She did such a good job in that movie.
Oh, yes. Now I remember.
A really weird movie.
Yeah.
but I thought her performance was definitely worth watching. The movie was worth watching. I thought it was worth seeing. And her performance was the main reason for it, I thought.
Is there anyone doing more interesting work than Guillermo del Toro right now? He's fascinating.
He's amazing.
Yep.
Sheena Easton is 64.
She takes the morning train.
Yes, nice, nice.
9 to 5 and comes back again.
Oh, good. Well done. You know, they're calling her a Prince prodigy. Prince discovered her and gave her a big break.
Right.
He talked about her like she was an apprentice. You know, that like he wanted, whenever Prince took somebody under their wing, it wasn't that you couldn't be bigger than Prince, like with some other artists.
Mm-hmm.
It was he wanted them to be bigger than him and was a little disappointed if that didn't happen. And of course, it didn't happen with any of them. But
Well, he was such a big, you know, it's interesting to think about because he was such a good live performer.
Mm-hmm.
He always seemed to want to be the songwriter and the producer. Because he wrote songs for so many other people that became hits, and he loved to produce stuff. It was almost like he was a reluctant performer, even though he was so good at it.
Well, he was definitely stage shy. Like, he definitely, I think even late in his career, still had some of that.
Yeah.
It's part of the reason why he was able to hide under a guise of Prince. Like, that wasn't his
real
name.
That's true.
You know?
Well, actually, Prince was his real name, but yes.
It wasn't his full name. I'm sorry. It wasn't his full name and stuff.
But you're right. It was a persona. You're totally right about that.
I think just like most people may not realize this, if I'd hung out with 100 actors, 90 of them are shy. You know,
More introverted something like that.
Oh, yeah. Overwhelmingly are and stuff. And in my experience, a lot of the people that have egos or divas or anything aren't very good at it. Like
insecurity thing.
Ace Frehley is 72 today. Legendary guitarist for Kiss, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, inducted in 2014.
Mean tweeter.
Yes. Amazing guitar player.
Yes.
Fantastic guitar player. Getting to see him live was a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love her. Kate Pearson is 75. 75.
Oh, my gosh.
B-52s, of course. Love Shack, Rome, Rock Lobster.
Bouffant hair.
So the line tin roof rusted. That's shouted at the end of Love Shack. Mm-hmm. It's slang for being pregnant. For some reason, they had someone other than Kate shout the line, even though Kate was, I believe, pregnant at the time of the recording. And that's why they said that. I don't know how that how you get being pregnant out of that.
That's a weird one. But I have not heard that before.
I just thought that's pretty amazing. That's pretty interesting. And then some people are no longer with us. Like, we can't be doing this job and not give respect and credit to the great Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem. Oh, man.
1932 to 2014, radio legend. I think it's a fair argument to make that radio is not as big as it is without the voice of Casey Kasem.
You are so right.
Not just him. Certainly a lot of voices of that era, but definitely one of the biggest. Radio didn't have a face. Like a face of radio. Mm-hmm. Like TV had early faces of radio, Mr. Ed and things like that and stuff. Radio didn't have a face. It wasn't a visual medium. It was hard mm-hmm. to get people over on it and to get people into it and stuff. The charisma is what it all came down to. A memorable voice is a lot of what it came down to. This is where Larry King makes his big star and stuff like that. And Casey Kasem like got the whole darn thing going.
Yes, and of course Shaggy.
The voice acting,
the voice Shaggy,
Robin, Boy Wonder, Super Friends.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
there's a lot of great voice acting work.
I was looking through. This is weird. I read old old issues of Billboard for whatever reason. Mm. Anyway, nice. I saw an article about him. I didn't realize what an activist he was.
Yeah,
he did not talk about it a lot, but he was a big activist when he was even at his highest. When he was, you know, Casey Kasem, top 40 every That's week, right. kind of thing. Especially because he was Arab American.
Yes,
and he was a big advocate for anti-defamation, equal rights for Arab Americans. Yeah. But he was also very big about bringing Jews and Arabs together.
Yes.
He had a group in Los Angeles that he was, of all these people, you know, trying to work through differences and all these kinds of things. And he was actually quite successful at it, interestingly enough.
I've got a couple of students that I've been working with over the last couple of years that have been in classes with us that are Arab. And mm-hmm. them and I have been working on sketches and different ways of making more and more of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a silly movie, but the you don't mess with the Zohan or whatever, that Adam Sandler movie. Yes, it's Adam Sandler as an action star.
Of course.
It's ridiculous and all that, and it's supposed to be.
Right.
But the main essence of the movie is Jews and Arabs get along and have more in common than not.
Yeah, yep.
And we need more and more of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's way too many. It's rough here politically. You think it's rough here politically. Over there, what is going on with those two countries and the way they bomb each other back and forth, and the people that suffer are the people.
Just the regular people.
The
trying to
Israeli
live.
Yep. people, the Arab people, Palestinians are the ones that are suffering. And these are people that have more in common than not. Mm-hmm. That are closer than closer. They should be closer than not.
Mm-hmm.
And I any opportunity for myself as a Jewish man to reach out to Arab people, I take. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of Arab people that do the same thing. Mm-hmm. We grew up around a lot of it in Chicago. I mean, mm-hmm. it was not a big deal.
Yeah.
To work with, talk to, or anything like that.
Because you're all in the same situation.
Yes.
And that really makes bonds.
I admire that more than anything about Casey Kasem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's cool that you knew that because I didn't think it was common knowledge.
Well, I don't think it was. I had to read an old issue of Billboard from the 80s.
Where it came from. I gotcha.
Where he actually talked about it. So I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know this.
Coretta Scott King, born in this day in 1927, passed away in 2006, the wonderful wife of Martin Luther King Jr.
What an act, man. What a woman.
Yeah.
She was something else.
How you pick up the pieces and carry on after loss is difficult. How you do it in the public eye. You know, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, I think of people like that and stuff. I don't even want to pretend to know how I would handle a situation like that.
You can't. Being one of the most famous people on earth. Yeah, exactly.
Here's one for you, Seth. Jack Klugman, born in this day in 1922, passed away in 2012. Oscar on the original Odd Couple.
That's right, on the TV show, yeah.
Seth, of course, just recently, not too long ago, played Oscar in the Odd Couple.
That is correct. You know, it's funny because there was, you know, two very famous interpretations of that character, Walter Matthau and then Jack Klugman. They did it a little different, of course, because they're, you know, their own people and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I was doing Oscar, I was like, you know, I don't want to be a caricature of Walter Matthau. As much as I love Walter Walter Matthau. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to be, I like Jack Klugman a lot too,
yeah.
but I don't want to do that. I would take bits and pieces from their things, just to nice. little things there. But, you know, I didn't want to overdo it because then it's like a caricature and you don't want to do that. I have one quick shout out for Jack Klugman. One of my favorite episodes of The Twilight Zone, A Game of Pool, that he is in with Jonathan Winters. Yeah. It's a great episode.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if there were bad episodes of The Twilight Zone, but there were memorable ones.
Mm-hmm.
That is one of them.
Yes.
I didn't remember that. Nice job.
Yep.
One more time, I want to wish my son, James Kevin Mailoff, a happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, JC. Enjoy your day. I'll talk to you a little later. Happy birthday to Kim Simmons.
Happy birthday, Kim.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Gene Butke.
Happy birthday, Gene.
We hope you all have a great day. Enjoy and sit back. Listen to Melissa's news when you're done with that and done with our original content when we're off the air. Go ahead and head on over to Misty's Menu. No, head on over whenever you want. Get on over
to
Misty's.
You've got a radio in your car. Yeah. You can listen to us the whole way there. Come on.
Enjoy and have some good fun. And wish a great morning to our friends over at Misty's Menu at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. We'll be back with more here at WFHR. That's what I wanted. Ooh. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Someone standing there with her hands in her hair. Little Steve Winwood for you. Some 80s. Changing up a little bit. Seth and James here with you. We are going to have some fun right now because we're going to talk a little AI. I think this is interesting.
Okay.
Here's how to fix your social anxiety. Just have your own personal teleprompter tell you what to say.
Oh, jeez.
A student at Stanford has been posting videos after he and some friends used ChatGPT to make an AI-powered glasses that help you have conversations. You could use them at parties or even on dates. What is the classic tale? The guy with the big long nose.
Cyrano de Bergerac.
Thank you, thank you. That he's just ripping that off.
Basically,
that's all
yes.
This is.
Yep.
It uses a speech recognition program that listens to what other people say, then it generates replies to read and displays them right in front of your eyeballs. So if you're bad at chit chat, it does it for you. They fed it details about their friends' personal lives, so it would have things to ask about.
Oh,
but eventually, it could look people up on social media to find stuff. Because, hey, what could go wrong there?
Nothing wrong there, right? No scary surveillance there.
No stalker situations.
Not at all.
The current version isn't fast enough. I was going to say, there's a long pause before the next pop-ups. But once it works in real time, it isn't obvious a lot of people might use it. How is it not going to be obvious? I might as well have a script in front of me.
Yeah.
Shuffling papers.
Yeah. Hello.
Sorry, I lost my place. Okay. I'm fine. What? You want to get better at talking to people? Talk to people.
Yeah.
Like, it's repetition, like everything else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I understand, you know, social anxiety. It's a real thing. You know, some people
Absolutely.
Have it really, really bad. I understand that, too. I deal with some of it myself.
Same.
But at the same time, how is this going to help you, though? Is this going to give you just like now you're not going to – you say, now I can't leave the house without my special talkie glasses or whatever they're going to call them.
You know, I got an idea. Why do we ever take the training wheels off? Let's just let every kid in the world, no matter how old they are, keep the training wheels on. Why not? You know, I'm sure it'll be fine. Why do we have kids? Why do we push them so much? Let's do the little bit babying more. Let's make it a little bit easy. Look, I have social anxieties too. Mm-hmm. I am an introvert by trait and everything. I didn't choose the industries I'm in. They chose me. I didn't want to. I didn't choose acting. It chose me. I didn't choose radio. It chose me. I happened to fall into fields that deal with people, that work with people. It took me a long time to get to where I am now with it, mm-hmm. but I still struggle with it and have difficulties. And I keep working through it. I keep repetition, keep doing it over and over, and you get more and more comfortable with it. That's how you get good at these things. You're not going to get good at it with this. You're just going to lean on this your whole life.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And what happened? Let's say this works out. This works out really good. You run into the one. And you're having these conversations. What happens when you got to take the glasses off?
That's what I was thinking.
You're going to have to take the training wheels off someday.
Eventually.
Eventually, you're going to have to do it. Eventually, you're going to have to trust that they can walk. They can ride
those
that bike
glasses,
on their own.
You got to charge them at some point.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Oh, I didn't think about that part.
Unless they're solar powered, maybe then you can get them. But anyway.
I have never once, and I've been talking to girls since I was 12 years old. I kissed my first girl at 12 and been chasing it ever since. I have never in my life walked up to a woman and known what to say or how to talk to them. I you would think I was walking up and talking to an imaginary creature. Like they had never been around
a unicorn there,
like
right?
Yeah. I talk for a living. And right now, if I had to, would fall flat on my face if I'm trying. But you keep doing it because that's life. That's the way it works. And shockingly, some people actually find that charming, which I'm very fortunate, very thankful for.
Well, that's just – but it's all about being you. Exactly. It's who you are.
You're not being you. They might as well date the AI.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what are they talking to you for? Give me those glasses, and I'll just talk to the glasses.
When you find the person that you know understands you, or is willing to work at it, or is willing, you know, that wants to be with you enough, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It is. They want you. They don't want AI words. They want the person who you are.
So there's one that there's two videos. One that shows a guy using the glasses in a simulated job interview, because that's going to get you hired. Gosh. I'll just hire the AI system. And there is one thing about this, though. There's a feature everyone might like. It can also recognize faces and tell you what the person's name is when they walk up to you.
That would be handy.
Yeah.
Because I'm as bad as the next person at remembering names. Yes, yeah. So that's about like the only thing I can see of that would be a decent thing for this.
But I would say that has its downfalls because doing that tests our memory.
Yeah, it's
true. And what is one of the ways to stave off dementia? Or Alzheimer's.
Use your brain.
Using your brain. Mm-hmm. It's in conversations. It's testing your memory. It's playing word games and things like that.
Being creative. All that stuff. Yeah.
So we do this and it works out. I almost guarantee, without any scientific knowledge whatsoever, that science will come around and tell you, hey, guess what? We've got a generation of people that can't think for themselves, that don't know how to talk to people, and they're still using training wheels.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Didn't we learn anything from the everybody gets a trophy thing? Like, this stuff doesn't
I don't want to be overly broad with this. I don't want to make a huge generalization because, you know, we tend to, you know, we're on a radio morning show, you know, we tend to do that.
Yes.
But you know, it's one of those things where it's okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes, everybody. You learn. That's how we learn. That's how we wouldn't learn anything if we didn't make mistakes, okay? And that's okay. That is okay.
Think of your greatest influences. Think of the most accomplished people in life. Go ahead. Everybody's got a list in your head. Put that list together. Every single one of those people failed.
Yeah.
Every single one of them failed at something or another or what they were first doing. There is, and literally in human history, nobody who – Einstein didn't just wake up at 16 and like E=mc².
No.
I got this. This is good. Like, it doesn't happen like that.
He was considered a bad student.
Yes.
He was almost kicked out of his class because he was such a pest to the teacher.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, exactly. That's a great example.
Failure is not a bad thing.
No.
It makes you who you are. Mm-hmm. We are made from the hard times.
Yeah.
Good day. We all want good days. That's not what makes you.
No.
What makes you is the hardships.
What you learn from them. Yep.
We got to get to the next break here. We'll come back and talk a little bit about Kit Kats. We're going to talk Kit Kats when
candy.
We come back. Yeah. Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. And we got a couple minutes before we get to the top of the hour. We're going to start things off in the 9 o'clock hour with our Pet of the Week from our friends at the Southwood County Humane Society.
Woo-hoo.
Looking so forward to that. That is going to be so much fun. Looking forward to hanging out with Madison. And the 9 o'clock hour, we'll also have entertainment news. We'll get into some, that ain't right stories and good stories of the day. I will do my best to not ramble about either my son's birthday or the NFL draft. We'll see. We'll see.
We'll keep him on a short leash here.
No promises.
Yeah.
It's a little easier to do when we got great things to talk about like this, Seth.
We do, including the Hoozles Rise to Music Competition 2023, the second annual. Yes, it's almost here again. It's going to start up Thursday, June 8th. But right now, We are looking for people to get in on the action. We're looking for musicians to register. It is now live. Just go to hoozlesrisetomusic.com. You can check out the Facebook page for Hoozles by the Lakes as well. You can get all the information you need from those two places. It's going to be a lot of fun. We had so much fun last year. All genres are welcome, from country to rock, reggae, acoustic. However, this year, musicians can look forward to additional exposure on Civic Media Radio Network. That's right. Mm-hmm. We're a network now, everyone. Mm-hmm. That means not only on the morning show here, but on Director's Cut, Max Inc. Radio, yes. the live music yes. show that we have on the weekends, which is very cool. I'm glad to team up with them for that. You can register as a solo, duo, or trio. There are no entry fees, so don't worry about that. Musicians are expected to prepare to play a minimum of 15 minutes for their chance to compete. They can perform covers. They can perform their own material. It doesn't matter. We just want you there. Now, each week has a qualifier. Voted by the audience. If you do win that, you get a radio interview here. You get to perform at the Rafters Ballpark, which is another new thing this year.
Yeah, that's
teaming
so cool.
up with the Rafters. Very, very cool. $200 cash prize for that. And then, of course, the big, if you're the winner of the whole kielbasa,
yeah.
you get a paid residency at Hoozles at the Lakes. You get studio recording time. You get radio interviews all throughout Civic Media Network, including Max Inc. and all that stuff. Performance, again, at the Rafters. And then you get the cash prize and the title, Rise to Music Champion 2023.
It's an impressive title. It is. You're going to want. This is what we do here. Mm-hmm. We support local. We want to back local. Now, that usually involves a lot of businesses and those sorts of things, as it has for over 80 years here at WFHR. But it also, if you've been listening for a long time, you know, it also involves the arts.
Yes.
We support the arts. We support the sports around here, our local high school teams, and we support the local artists in our scene.
Yes. We had a very interesting, when we were with the Lizards last night, one of the guys made the comment, where are the arts?
Yeah.
Where are the arts right now? That's yeah. what we're trying to do here. Yes. We're trying to bring the local art scene to you.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we're doing with Hoozles Rise to Music.
We know how important it is to this audience. We know how important it is to our audience in general. We've got mm-hmm. listeners all over the place. We know that they love this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you something. It tells you you're doing something pretty darn good. When I got people in Chicago telling me, hey, when's Hoozles Rise to Music coming back?
I mean, come on. That's crazy.
That's pretty dang cool.
That's
and I'm
awesome.
Not, I'm not talking like one or two family members. I mean strangers that just happen to listen to our show. It's pretty dang cool. We
yeah.
can't do this, of course, without those musicians, and we appreciate them, and we want more of them.
Mm-hmm.
Registration is filling up quick, so get in on that. You can go to hoozlesrisetomusic.com to find out more, and just type that in your search bar, and you'll be able
you'll
to find
it. Yeah.
You'll also have Hoozles at the Lakes pop up, and a big shout-out to them, and we appreciate mm-hmm. them. Visit them at 4010 Plover Road in Wisconsin Rapids. Maybe even stake out the place a little bit where you want to sit for these bands and stuff.
Yeah, they got a great venue. They've got lots of great refreshments, and like Mel likes to say, their bathrooms are awesome.
Yes, and my, I mean, maybe my favorite salesperson I've ever worked with, and one of the best I've certainly ever worked with,
yep.
Steph Schmidt,
yep.
who put her heart into this. This is a passion project for her. She mm-hmm. loves this, and we're so appreciative to her and all the work she put into this.
Yep.
She already did it once, and you could just have kept what you did last year.
Yep.
But that's not her. She wanted to make it even bigger, even better.
Yep.
Reaching out to the Rafters and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredibly good work by you, Steph. We appreciate you and appreciate Hoozles.
Yes, we do.
You mentioned, again, hoozlesrisetomusic.com. Go there. Like that page. Keep up with all the great things that our friends at Hoozles are up to as well.
Yes.
You mentioned Max Inc. Radio. I did want to touch on this. From 6 to midnight Saturday, and then Sunday midnight to 6, the repeat, and then Sunday 9 to midnight. Nice. Must be nice to get that much kind of playtime.
Yeah, right.
Just a word. If anyway, we wanted to mention that this weekend on Max Inc. Radio, he is going to be interviewing keyboardist, vocalist, composer, and founding member Robert Lamb of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band Chicago.
Wow. Speaking of Chicago.
And they're coming through the area, Wisconsin, on May 9th at Riverside Theater in Milwaukee and May 10th at the La Crosse Center. They also got some shows in April.
Cool.
So that is pretty cool.
Shout yeah, that
to,
is neat. Yeah.
Max Inc. and the gang over there with that. That should be a good show as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about that stuff and plenty more because we got to talk a little Director's Cut.
Of course
and,
we do.
And some stuff like that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. We're also going to get into some That Ain't Right. I got a really interesting That Ain't Right story here.
Oh, boy.
You know how we kind of rip on people for being Sue happy? I don't think I've heard a story like that in quite some time.
Okay.
One that reminded me of like a 90s or an 80s story.
Okay, nice.
That's in our That Ain't Right stuff. We got some local good stories of the day coming up for you, and you don't have to wait until the end of the hour. We got a local good story coming up right at the beginning of the hour with our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society and our Pet of the Week here at WFHR, locally grown radio.